So there was a woman, she was pregnant, she was with twins, there's two of them involved, and she was in a car accident, went into a coma. While she was in the coma, her husband was also away, he was in the military, wasn't able to be there when she gave birth to her children. On the second day of their being alive, the mother, brother, was present and named the children. She came out of the coma the next day. And she was afraid because her brother was kind of a prankster and wasn't really sure what kind of name he would give to her children. So he was at her bedside when she woke up, and her first comment was, "Are the twins healthy?" And he said, "Yes." And then she said, "What did we have? What did I have?" And the brother said, "Well, the first one was a girl." And the mother was a little concerned. She said, "Well, what did you name her?" To which the brother said, "Denise." And she said, "Oh, good, good. A normal name." Then she said, "Well, what about the second one?" And the brother said, "Well, it was a boy." And she said, "Well, what did you name him?" And he said, "DeNephew." I must have told a better at this service. Anyway, we're looking at a series on the Holy Spirit's arrival. Last week we were at Pentecost when a mighty wind blew from God. And that wind blew so powerful, it was like God's breath coming into us because God's Spirit was part of that. It enlivens us, allows us to be able to live with purpose and power. In order to describe this moment, the Apostle Paul, this moment of coming into the kingdom of heaven, the Apostle Paul used the imagery of adoption. He countered that with what we normally are born into. When we're born into this world, we're born in the flesh, which means that we're born into the idea that we serve ourselves, that we're here to fuel, to live out, and to follow the flesh. We follow that unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. That's the Apostle Paul says. When we're born, that's exactly what we do. Our desires are all about me. If you doubt this, you need to hang around with some toddlers for a while. My wife and I have been blessed this whole year, from fall all the way into last week, of being able to watch our grandkids one day a week. These are Brian's children. And I got a new ball for our grandson. We have one grandson. He's 2 years old, and it's a Spider-Man ball. And I brought it up, and the fun thing was we were playing with the ball until his sister arrived. She's 4 years old. One ball, two kids. World War III broke out. I mean, there was wailing and crying and throwing themselves on the ground. So, being the good pastor and counselor that I am, I gave some godly instruction as to how they need to share. You know, how they're being nice to each other. Their brother and sister, they can share the ball. They didn't follow my instructions very well. There was wailing and crying and throwing themselves on the ground. So I pulled my cell phone out and I hit the timer. Every 2 minutes they could play with the ball. When the one had the ball, happy as a lark. When the other had the ball, there was wailing and crying and throwing themselves on the floor. And it kept speaking about sharing. And I have to admit, I fell into the grievous mistake. Y'all know the mistake I made? I bought one ball. And you know, I did this when our twins were little. I did the exact same thing. You'd think I would have learned from then. So, if you doubt that our flesh needs to be transformed, you need to hang out with some toddlers. Because they'll show you in a moment, it's all about them. It's all about me. And so what happens is that there needs to be a transformation of going from living in the flesh to living in the Spirit. There needs to be a mindset change, a mindset of thinking I, to a mindset of thinking God and we. There needs to be a relational change of going that I'm an orphan out here all by myself to I've been adopted into the kingdom of heaven. That's the imagery that the Apostle Paul uses. Interestingly enough, that word in the Greek that we use as adoption occurs 5 times in the New Testament, every one of them the Apostle Paul uses. It doesn't come from anywhere else. No other writer uses it but Paul. It's a very technical term, and it literally means that the moment you're brought into this family, you now receive the full rights, the full privileges of being a child of that parent. It's more than just being able to use the car. You know, I've had some of the youth here, like when we did the yard sale, I handed the keys to a youth who could drive, and I said, yeah, move stuff, okay? It's more than that. It's more than, or it's actually to the point of, being able to go into the refrigerator. You know, if I go in your house, you go in the refrigerator. Unless I'm a natural child or an adopted child with all the full rights and privileges, then I can go into the refrigerator. And you know you're part of the family when you're allowed to go right into the refrigerator and get out whatever you want. So with this adoption comes 3 pieces that the Apostle Paul brings to us. First, it's an ability to have a heavenly parent. We can now call God Abba. We translated that as Father. It's not quite correct. Because it's not, oh dearest Father, could you come here? No, it's not like something out of a Shakespearean novel or a play. It's not like that at all. The word we translate Abba into Father is more like what a little child would call their father, which would be Daddy. It's a very relational piece, acknowledging a deep need, a deep love for that parent. You would call them Daddy. It's a term of endearment, Abba, but it shows deep love and deep need. Since we've watched our grandkids for a while and the parents have been around, if any of the grandkids fell and hurt themselves, they didn't go to Pappy. They didn't go to Mimi. Oh, who'd they go to? Daddy. They went to Mommy. And that's the kind of force of this word, is that we now have a parent in heaven who's there for us. Across the Facebook, I've seen many people put that they wish for one more moment with their parent, one more bit of advice with their parent, one more day with their parent, because their parents moved on to be with God. We now have a parent always with us, a parent who could always be there for us. That's Abba. That's Father. The moment we embrace God, we now have a heavenly parent who can always be there for us, no matter what time, no matter what place. And the importance of this is that at times our feelings will be hurt. We don't have a parent to go to. God's more than willing to listen to us outpour when someone's betrayed us. The reason why this is important is that there have been times in which a tragedy's occurred and we're in deep pain. And we don't have that parent on earth to go to. They're not here. They're not near. So we can go to Abba, to Daddy, and confess the tragedy that's occurred. There have been times in which we've had pain. We look around the world around us. We're like, what is going on in our society? And we feel pain over that. We can say, God, I need your help. Father, will you be there for us? So one of the benefits of what we're looking at here in this idea of adoption is a relational change. We're not free agents. We're not living in our flesh. We are now children of the Almighty God, who we can call Daddy. That's number one. Number two, with that comes the fact that we are heirs of the covenant now. We're heirs of God. We're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And since we're heirs, the first question we all ask is, what's our inheritance? Right? What are we going to get? If you want to blow up your family gathering today or tomorrow, I'm going to give you a statement to really create some chaos. Tell everybody the will's been changed. Guarantee you're going to get people dropping their containers going, what? And it'll be a great fun event. And I say that with all sarcasm. Our inheritance, since we're now part of the kingdom of heaven, since we're adopted heirs, since we are naturalized with all the full rights and privileges, is that there's no limit. God doesn't say, wait until then to get your inheritance. God doesn't say, you're only going to get a fifth, and they get a fifth, and they get a fifth. No, no. We get all of it all the time. The beauty of this inheritance is it comes rolling onto and measures beyond our understanding. The first of the inheritance we claim is salvation, that through Jesus Christ we've been forgiven and thus free of our sin. That's the first of being a co-heir with Christ. We also receive direction as to where we're to go in our lives. Oftentimes, we are confused as to what we should do, where we should turn. God gives us direction. That's part of the inheritance. We receive guidance as well, and assurance that whenever you don't know what's happening, that peace that goes beyond human comprehension pours into our life. And we don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. We receive Christ, who strengthens us now and always. Because of this relationship change, because we're no longer free agents that sit out there doing our own thing, because we're adopted and heirs, because God is our Father, we can count on the greatest of the inheritance pieces. That's the Holy Spirit. Come into our life. Please don't ever think that's the last and the least. It is the best and the brightest, because through the Holy Spirit, it enhances our conscience so that we can truly know what's right and what's wrong, and then gives us the power to follow it. Let me tell you a story. This comes out of Reader's Digest, so I'm assuming it's true. On a flight to Florida, there was a guy who was an educational psychologist. He was preparing a talk for parents, grandparents. And he was to tell them, basically, how to get your child to go the right way and to be, you know, live as an effective adult. So he's sitting there on the plane working on it. Beside him was an older woman who was a grandmother. And she leans over and says, well, what are you doing? So he shared the deep knowledge of what he was going, and he shared with her what he was all about. And then he expected that next level of questions, which is, how do I change my grandchildren? How do I do this? She did not ask any of those. A moment went by. She leaned over and whispered into his ear, "If there's anything you want to know about parenting, you can ask me." Now, I share that with you because that's what we have in the Holy Spirit, the guidance aspect. See, with your human friends, your human family, they don't know the future. We're tied to only two time frames. We can give advice about the past, and sometimes it's pretty bad. We can give advice about the present, but we don't always know how that would impact the future. See, with the Holy Spirit, the greatest of all inheritance gifts, the Holy Spirit spans all three time frames. And the Holy Spirit was there in the past when we originally did the wrong thing. The Holy Spirit's here in the present how to correct the past. And the Holy Spirit knows what's most effective as we move into the future because the Holy Spirit is already in the future, spans all time frames. And so when you're looking for guidance and direction, your human friends may be okay. Your family may be good. But realize, count on the Holy Spirit, who already knows the end result of some of our actions that they will take, already knows what's right and wrong, so we go there to the Holy Spirit so we can predict what's going to happen in the future. That's point number two of what adoption means. Point number three is that through the Holy Spirit, we get freedom. First and foremost on this day, lift up in prayers, thank you for those who have given their lives and families who have given loved ones to be able to make certain we're free. Free as a nation, and then free and safe inside this nation, you know, with the fire and the ambulance and the EMT. Thanking God for the military and those who have served. But the Holy Spirit also keeps us safe and free. First and foremost, so you heard in the Apostle Paul's little statement about how there's that sin that can so easily bind us and tear us up. And so the Holy Spirit comes and releases us from that bondage. And literally, there's some sin that feels like it's an entrapment, like we're encased, like we cannot break free. The Holy Spirit does that. So through the forgiveness we receive through Jesus on the cross, the Holy Spirit comes in and allows us then not to do that again. Gives us the strength so we do not commit the same sin again and again and again and again. The Holy Spirit, as we bring that entity, as we bring him into our lives and allow that to go out to every part of who we are, every relationship of who we are, the Holy Spirit will transform us so we don't commit the same mistakes, the same sins again and again and again. There's power in that kind of freedom. Second item that the Holy Spirit brings to us is it drives out fear. You know what fear really is, the acronym F-E-A-R? Forget everything and run. That's why I always admire people who go into situations that are really hard, because they don't. They have that assurance. What the Holy Spirit does is it drives out fear so that we don't have to live according to fear. I don't know about you all. Some of you all probably fit this, but I have a regular 3 a.m. wake-up call. I have to go to the bathroom, okay? I sit in. 3 a.m. Never fails. When I come back, once every 2, maybe 3 weeks, I have trouble falling asleep because those fears start to come in. And that feeling of inadequacy starts to weigh upon my mind. And that feeling like I haven't done enough rushes in. Or I'm not being effective. It grabs my heart. And I have to tell you, it's almost impossible to go to sleep at that point. That's when the Holy Spirit is so valuable. That you call the Holy Spirit in to drive out that fear. Well, one of the ways is through the deep breathing. You call the Holy Spirit in by calling in Jesus. You breathe in Jesus, you breathe out Christ. You breathe in Jesus, you breathe out Christ. That immediately starts to calm you. And then you use one of the tools that we have at our disposal in the kingdom of God, and that's the tool of gratitude. And the Holy Spirit literally rushes in when you start saying, thank you, God, for this. And thank you, God, for that. And thank you, God, for this person. And thank you, God, for my greatest enemy. And thank you, God. And you run down the list of everything you have in your life, and you start thanking God for that. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will move in and push out that fear. And then realize that God's been there for you. And you grab on the promises of how God was there in the past. And the Holy Spirit will remind you as you grab on one, will bring all the others in. And the moment you keep grabbing on the promises, it's amazing how quickly fear leaves you. Part of the example of this is found in the book of Psalms. That the psalm writer always, always said, I remember when you did this, God. I remember when you did this, God. That's to drive out fear, allowing the Holy Spirit to rush in. The end result is, by 3:30, it's amazing. I'm back asleep again because the Holy Spirit drives out fear. Now, the amazing thing about this gift of the Spirit that comes through adoption, this transforming relationship we have, this claiming the promises, is that that which we thought owned us is now shoved out. One of the examples, on the internet, I found this story of a woman. Her name was Emma, and she had trouble with alcohol. Other than that, she lived a fairly healthy life in terms of relationships, but she could not stay away from the damaging effects of drinking. She went to her Bible and started to look down all those scriptures that claimed God's promises, that she found God promised to her time and time and time again. And as she was claiming the promises of God, the Holy Spirit moved farther and farther into who she is and who she was. The end result was, this is her final statement, I'm so pleased to say I have not drunk a drop of alcohol for more than 18 months now. This has been made possible not by my own strength, but by the enlightenment of God's Word through the Holy Spirit. That's how true freedom came into my life. And that's the end of quote. So when we look at this, the importance of the Holy Spirit, let's not think, oh, that's the add-on piece with God and God the Father and Jesus the Son. This is what they sent for us to deal with life now and to deal with the life that we're going to be moving into the future, to deal with that sin which entangles us so that we can know true freedom all through Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, that you have allowed this Spirit to come into our lives, and may we continue to call for that Spirit. So that Spirit infuses us in such a way that there is not a place within us that is not filled with you and your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of the love we find in your life. And may we live it, not only in this moment, but from here on. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.